I'm going to call this meeting to order at 2 o'clock, October 11th, 2022. And we will go directly to the public comments. Are there any public comments?
My name is Carrie Kimmel. I'm with Sheridan Funeral Home in Sheridan, Wyoming. And we had a graveside service a couple weeks ago, and there was miscommunication, and I'm not sure what all went on, but I've got all my documentation, and the grave did not end up getting covered from 3:20 till the sun showed back up about 5:58, and I was spending time with the son and the daughter-in-law on the phone. And anyway, it turned out they shouldn't get to cover the grave that night. I came back over the next day, and things were up to satisfactory that morning with the son. He had buried his mom, and somewhere during the conversation, he was told that there would be no charge for the opening and closing. And so I deducted that from his bill, and then the check that we left ended up getting deposited. And I've got my receipt here of where you guys got it, but I would like to get that back. If that was told to the family, that they would not have to pay for the mess up that happened. And then I just wanted to clarify, my main concern was the trauma the family went through at showing back up in the grave not being closed. And whatever I can do and we need to do working partners with you guys, that does not happen again. It's been very difficult on everybody. And it's a new experience for me. I've been in the funeral business for 15 years, and I've never experienced a grave not getting closed within a matter of a couple hours. And it's been very disruptive in many people's lives here the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So I don't know if this is the appropriate place to say this, but I wanted to bring that up.
Ms. Kelly, yes. Would you be willing to sit with us in executive session and we can iron out any of the details? And
when would that be?
Just right here in this meeting.
Later right on. Now?
Not right now,
oh,
just a little further
end.
Down in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank you.
So we won't address that for the new business right now. Any other comments from the public? Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My understanding is that the board terminated an employee recently. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. My question would be, why wasn't that done in an executive session? I just am trying to understand this myself, because my understanding is those types of things are usually handled in an executive session, and then they come out in a regular board meeting, and then those decisions are officially made. So I'm just curious as to why it happened the way it did, and could you explain that to me?
I am going to refer that to our Vice President.
Okay.
In our policy and procedure manual, the way it's broken down is the President of the Board is the direct supervisor of the Sexton, and the Sexton is the direct supervisor of the Deputy, and on down the line through the seasonal health. And at each level, we empower our leaders to hire and fire people below them. So the Deputy Sexton has the authority to hire and fire the seasonal employees, and the Sexton has the authority to hire and fire the Deputy Sexton.
Okay.
And that's why it didn't require a board motion or a board meeting because it's set up that way.
Okay.
We empowered our supervisors to do that.
Okay. But the way that I interpreted the open meeting laws and state statute is that the employees of the special district are, because the districts are a subgroup of the county government, that those employees are treated like they would be in any other government. This is not a hired board. It's a board that is voted in. So my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't that state law supersede any special board, rule, regulation, provision, whatever?
I'd have to see the state law here.
That's my question. Because the way that I read it is that that would require, because the employee is a quote-unquote governmental employee, that that would require that.
The employee's, so the employee's not employed by the state.
No, no. By the county.
Employed by the county.
Okay.
No, employed by the cemetery district.
I understand that. But the cemetery board is, even the way it's set up, is still a subgroup of the county government. That's my understanding, my interpretation of it. So it would still, my understanding, fall under the same employee regulations that are good for the county. Does that make sense?
Like I said, I would have to see the regulations, your statement.
Okay. Was there, who is the board's legal representation? Could you answer that?
Barry Craigle has been.
Craigle? Okay. All right.
In the past, the whole board would be making that decision, not one individual. To me, that's atrocious. That one person, either a personality conflict or whatever, can fire an individual. That should be a board decision.
I don't. I've been through our bylaws. I've even checked through the. I'm not sure I get this right. Wyoming Special District Handbook, and I could find nothing indicating that it had to be a total board decision. This board has assigned me as a supervisor to the employees. That would give me the power only as an advisor to the sexton, according to our policies and procedures. And as a special district, I believe we don't answer to the county government. The county government simply provides our funding. We answer directly to the Wyoming State Special District Board, I believe. And I could find nothing in the special district handbook indicating that what we did in that termination was improper.
Okay, that was my question, because I didn't know, but my belief would be that if the state statute specified, which it may or may not, but that was my understanding.
Well, I certainly couldn't find it, so.
And
the state
John?
Statute is a little different when it comes to districts.
Right.
Specifically, even like with funding for projects, the amount that, if the county commissioners wanted to do a road project and they didn't do specific bid processes, they're looked at differently, especially like at the state level. But at the district level, they're giving more latitude as far as being able to spend money on a project and bids and stuff like that. So the districts are governed a little different than a state employee or a state government employee. So you definitely have to, I'd have to look at the regulation that you're stating, but usually the way it's been working is the bylaws and the procedures that the board adopts, as long as those are not in conflict, which we We haven't had any that have been in conflict.
Okay, so you will check with legal representation on this then and get back to me? Could you?
What's the question that you want me to ask?
Well, the question is, was it proper procedure?
Okay.
That's the only question I have, because it didn't seem to be.
I mean, you're free to call Barry and ask him the very same question, whether or not...
Well, I can. I just didn't know if that was proper because he is your legal representation. I can sure call Barry. That's fine.
Yeah, we can call him, but he hasn't said anything to us about it being improper at all.
Okay. I can call him. That's fine. I can relieve you of that, though. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Doc, I think this is totally unethical.
Pardon me?
I think it's totally unethical. That one person can ban an individual. The board, what was the cause? And let the whole board member process that and have a conversation about it before you go up. You're fired.
Well, Steve, we can't disclose.
And you can too.
I cannot disclose what's in an employee's file.
Yeah.
Now, you and I both know as businessmen that you fired people before.
And there's as a business owner. You're out of line.
Yes.
And there could be repression.
There could be, but we're confident that we followed the proper procedure, Steve. You and I have both, as business owners, have fired people.
You better.
And that's one person. And that's one person. You, yeah, by yourself, and me by myself. I've fired people.
Yeah. So you better have it documented, John.
We do have it documented, Steve.
Is it open to the public?
No, it's a private personnel file. We can't give that to the public.
Right. I'm aware of that.
Okay. Anyone else? Any other comments from the public?
Anyone else?
We have someone online.
They just couldn't hear the sound.
We just worked on the sound. There was no comment for the board.
Oh. Is there anyone? I guess that's called online. Is there anyone online that has any public comments at this point?
I'm not sure they can hear you quite yet. I don't think they can hear you quite yet.
Is there anyone online that has any further public comments? Is anybody responding? I can't see.
I'm not seeing any responses.
Okay. It's a good type.
All right. So we'll close the public comment section, and now we're going to acknowledge another resignation, John Ehlers, as of today, submitted his resignation letter. And so the next order of business will be to vote to accept that resignation. Have all the board members seen the letter?
Yes.
Have read and seen the letter?
Well, I'll make a motion to accept his resignation.
I'll second it.
Are there any further comments? From the board? There being none, all those in favor of accepting John Ehlers' resignation, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no. And I did say aye. All those opposed, signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried. So we have effectively lost our treasurer,
It says
they should be able to hear.
Yeah, it's probably on there.
You're just coming back.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Because nobody else is complaining about no sound.
Yeah.
I wonder if they recognize him. So. Yeah. Okay. The treasurer position, officer's position, has been vacated now, so we need to elect a new treasurer.
I'll nominate Tom's office.
And I'll second it.
You'll second it. Are there any other nominations? There being none, any other further discussion? There being no further discussion, all those in favor of electing John Zorbas as our new treasurer, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Signify by saying no. There being none, John Zorbas will be our new, elected our new treasurer. Now, we need a new vice president.
I make a motion we make Dave Moat the new vice president.
I'll second it.
Carolyn seconded. Any other nominees? There being none. Any further discussion? All those in favor of John Moat being elected to the new, as the new vice president, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, got it. They can hear now.
Anyone opposed? Signify by saying no. There being none.
There's too many Johns.
Yeah, we need another John now. Did you consider changing your name?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Petition for a name change.
Carolyn's already said she wouldn't change her name, so.
What?
We're going to lose John Holliday. There being no further discussion, the motion is carried. Now we are going to have to appoint a new board member. And I've got
2 year term.
For the 2 year term to fill John's vacancy, John Ayler's vacancy.
Even Liz Goddard said.
What?
Tracy said something about Luke Goddard's son.
No,
but it's.
Okay,
I think she needs to mute her microphone.
Oh, who is it?
Asked me, Tracy Chesterman.
Can you hear us now?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, we need to work on your system and all that.
Sorry, what?
The system seems to be working.
They can hear.
Can you hear us?
Yeah. They message the thing and said that they can.
Well, if it's never public did. Comment, it's out of order, so.
I'll mute that thread because obviously her muting isn't working. Because we have comments saying
yeah,
we can hear you.
Yeah, two people said we can hear now.
So,
thank you.
That was just out of order. Her system needs adjusted.
Yeah, I've got a letter here from Dave Holt indicating that he would be interested in serving the 2 year, I almost said sentence.
Just enough.
Filling out the vacancy of John Ayler's. And he's willing to resign his current seat, which would be vacant in November after the election. So have all the board members seen this? So is there
I would make a motion that we appoint Dave to fill the balance of the 2 years left in the seat vacated by John Ayler's. And that would in effect leave the seat vacated by Craig until November, which is 30 days
from the election. Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a motion to accept Dave Moat's willingness to take this 2 year term. Is there any other discussion on this from the board? There being none, all those in favor of appointing Dave to the 2 year term of John Ayler's, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried.
Congratulations.
You did the oath of office, I believe, so we don't have to go to the
oath of office. No. Oath of office.
Yeah. Okay. Now we'll go to minutes of the September meeting. Has everyone had an opportunity? Or the voucher, I'm sorry. I want to do that. Is there any discussion concerning the voucher?
I move to accept the vouchers.
There's been a motion to accept the vouchers.
I'll second it.
There's been a second by John Zorbas. Any further discussion on the vouchers? There being none, all those in favor of accepting the vouchers signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the vouchers have been motion is carried to accept the vouchers. Now the minutes of the September meeting. Any comment from the board on the minutes?
I move to accept the minutes.
I second them.
Been a motion by Carolyn to accept the minutes and a second by Dave. Any further discussion? There being none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried to accept the minutes of the September meeting.
Would you like to talk about that now?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay, Grant, could you pass these out? Kind of a spreadsheet. I did talk to locally the Bank of Buffalo and First Northern Bank. I also contacted Multibank Securities, which is an investment firm in Michigan which the fire department has used for years. Carla at the treasurer's office got us turned on to them years ago when there was a flush of money in the county and the local banks didn't want our funds for investment. So on this spreadsheet, these are the current rates that I was quoted, and I'll take a minute and go over line by line if that's okay. The Bank of Buffalo, they can only take $500,000. $250,000, that would be the FDIC insurance, and then they could pledge an additional $250,000. With public funds, you need to have insurance. They need to be pledged or have insurance again. So they can only take $500,000 total. Their rate at a 12-month CD is 1.95, and a 12-month money market is 1.65. First Northern Bank, they have a money market account that currently is at 2.5%. The thing with that money market account is it stays at 2.5% for a year, and then on the anniversary date it's looked at, and the rate could go up or down depending on where market rates are. The other nice thing about that money market account is since our checking is there, if our checking gets overdrawn or low, it automatically transfers money. So we don't have, you know, issues waiting for transfers from WildStar to get payroll done. They also, I tried to get a hold of CJ. He quoted me an 18-month CD, and that was 2.95%.
How many months was that?
18.
18?
Yeah. I didn't hear back from him on a 12-month. Multibank Securities, they can get us a lot better rates. They have 12-month CDs at 4%. And if they can take more than $250,000 because they invested in different banks' CDs, so they always have that FDIC insurance because they're in different banks with that insurance set in place. So if we wanted to invest, say, $500,000 with them, we would have two different CDs at two different banks, but both federally insured. They also have treasury notes, and they're running 4.07 to 4.16%. And I just heard back from my contact this morning, and those rates are still accurate. He can still get us that pretty easy. And then lastly is the WildStar. Last month it was at 0.37. The highest I've seen it was 2.1%, but that was back in January of 21. So I don't know where that's going to go in the future. Probably not much higher. I did discuss this with John. And it's just recommendations from him, possibly putting $250,000 in First Northern Bank's money market / checking account so we can cover those overdrafts and have funds there at 2.5% in the money market. Their checking is 0.23 right now, and that might increase a little bit. Closing the Bank of Buffalo's account, we have $4,000 in there, and it's earning 0.1%, and it hasn't really done much. So close that account. I would recommend $500,000, and this is where the board has to make a decision. I would recommend $500,000 with MBS and two different CDs earning 4%. Those are 12-month CDs. And then investing the remaining $164,000 in First Northern Bank's 18-month CD at 2.95%. And then I also recommend leaving about $5,000 in WildStar just so we have that account open so we can transfer in if rates do change. The question the board needs to answer is where they want to keep their money. Obviously, how can you do the best for the taxpayers? If it's not locally, you're going to get almost double the interest rate. If you keep it locally, you keep it locally and you benefit that way. So that's kind of the question the board needs to answer. Did I explain that clearly? I know it's a lot.
So the big numbers we're talking about, Chanda, the 250, and then the 500, and then the one, the change, the one stuff. That's out of the everything that's in the WildStar right now.
Yeah, that leaves about 5,000 in WildStar, John.
Okay.
And if you guys want to close that completely, it's obviously your decision.
You mean the WildStar?
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good idea to keep some in that WildStar. I think it's a good idea to keep some in WildStar.
To keep the account open.
Yeah.
That's the purpose.
5,000 in there.
Yeah, because then you can move money back into it if you're losing interest somewhere else. How long, if we wait a month, are these rates going to change much, do you think?
They probably will change, maybe not so much locally, but the multi-bank securities trades on the market.
On
and
the
yes,
market.
I got updated rates today. So, yeah, that they'll change. I don't know which way.
Which way, yeah. I mean, that's quite a difference between what we're getting now, not even a 0.5% interest up to 4%. I just don't know. The money market, you said, gives us the ability to move money back and forth, but the CD doesn't. It's
only
available.
It's 12-month CD is what MBS quoted, 18 months at First Northern Bank. And indeed, that money can come out. There's a penalty, typically 10%.
Are the 12-month treasury notes, those are locked in also?
Yes. And I do, if you guys want to see them, I do have the auction that you sent this morning, CDs and then treasuries. You guys want to see them?
No, I'm looking at this. Trying to be aware of making sure we still have access to
keeping some of our money liquid.
Yeah, initially, in my mind, what I'm thinking is, as a board member, is if we have 250 in the money market one, that's kept locally, has a lot of fluidity in it. And if we put 500 into the 12-month CD at 4%, and then the other, the still keep, and then leave everything else in WildStar for another month to make another decision with the balance, so it would be almost 200,000. But that way we kind of keep what we have in WildStar, 200,000 change in WildStar, 500 in a higher interest, which would be the 4%, and then 250 in that money market. Then I would agree close the other ones that we're not using. There's no sense having bank accounts that we're not using.
John, the other thing, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but you could also get a 6-month CD from MBS, and I don't have those rates. He sent me some for the fire department, and I didn't bring them. But they were, I think, 3% is what they were getting on 6 months.
Who was that?
That
multi-bank.
Multi-bank.
Okay.
3% for a 6-month one. I think if we have 250 in that money market one where it's yearly accessible,
yeah.
And then you drop down accessibility. The next most accessible one would be the almost 200,000 in WildStar, and then we get down to the 500,000 in the CD. But 4% on that's what would that be? 2,000 a month. So 4% of 500,000. 4 times 5 is 20. So we'd be something 2,000.
We won't be having any major capital expenditures coming up
here. No, that's where that 250 in the money market here locally, if we did have those capital expenditures, we could move it in and out of that fund and still use the public's money to gain interest and help fund the cemetery with the other one.
That's what I'm thinking. That balance, you know, you look again at the markets in another 30 days. If the markets keep going down like they have, you might be able to buy a $200,000 CD at 6 months for the same interest for $500,000. So give us district a little time to just look at the market and see how it's going. Does that sound?
Yeah, and John, like I said, that $500,000, if you want to invest with them, yes, you could stagger it. You could do a 6, a 9, a 12, and then, you know, every 3 months you'd see what the rates are doing and then could readjust. He can get us anything you want if you're more comfortable tying it up for a shorter period.
Well, I don't think a 12-month is really all that long if you have the liquidity of what we could leave in WildStar and what we have in the money market.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, that's just capital expenditure. And then, if something happens, we can draw. And then, while we're waiting for our tax revenues to come in.
Any other comments from the board? Is this something we need to vote on, or can we?
We can break it apart into little pieces if you want, John. You know, like the first one is. I would make a motion that
close make it so it's perfectly clear to all
the board members. That we close the Bank of Buffalo account due to the lack of use.
I make a motion to close the Bank for Buffalo bank account.
I'll second it.
Is there any other discussion? Further discussion? There being none, all those in favor of closing the Bank of Buffalo account, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried. We're making.
Then it'll be, I'd make a motion to move $250,000 out of WildStar to the money market account in First Northern Bank.
I make a motion to move $250,000 from the WildStar to the First Northern Bank.
I'll second it.
Any further discussions on the board? There being none, all those in favor of moving the $250,000 from the WildStar account to the First Northern Bank money market account, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried.
And then I'd make a motion that we move $500,000 and buy the 12-month CD from the multi-bank security.
I'll make a motion to move the $500,000 to a 12-month CD.
I'll second.
There's a second. Any further discussion from the board? There being none, all those in favor of moving $500,000 into a 12-month CD at the Multiple Bank Security, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried.
And then everything else, the balance will be left in WildStar until next month, and then we can look at the rates and stuff. If the board decides they want to do something at that point,
so that all adds up, correct? So I guess the treasurer would be you and Brenda.
Yeah, so we'll have to, and then there's some, we'll have to change the names on accounts and access to bank accounts and signature cards and stuff.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on we will move on to the rolling calendar.
You didn't have anything that we had to put in on that F-32, Kevin?
No, got confirmation that they received it. The only other thing is the annual review, the annual CPA review, is due, I think, by December 31st.
Right.
I will contact the auditors and see where they stand on it. Neither John nor I had heard anything from them.
Okay.
So I'll get in touch with them.
I believe this should have been added to the rolling calendar of the employee review. I have.
It's their quarterly reviews.
The quarterly. I've completed that, and I have got if any of the other board wants to see that, I've got that somewhere. But anyway, that's been completed, and it will be in the file. Okay, now we will move on to the Sexton's report.
Sexton's report. We have several projects that we were able to accomplish this month, quite a bit actually, and. Been working on those two headstones. I've been able to identify the owners and have contacted them. I've yet to receive direction as what to do with those, but I think we started out with 14 or so, so we're down to two. And then President Hansen was able to join me at lot 106, and we went over some of the issues that have been left unaddressed there for numerous years. And we reviewed some of the public complaints we've gotten about that lot and was able to come up with a game plan. And so we're hoping to get those issues addressed by this fall. and then the saluting the branches event, that went very well. And I was encouraged by the show of local businesses. We got a lot of support from the community, and it was expressed through that event, and not only toward us, but also to the veterans that are interred here, and we count that as an honor. And looking forward, and I conveyed my interest also for to be selected next year for the same event. That's actually a nationwide event, and we were selected out of all the cemeteries in the state of Wyoming, so I counted that an honor as well. I was able to reach out to the University of Wyoming about assessing our current water system and the best and most efficient use of that, and I was able to, I got some really good feedback, and we are going to meet with several, I think two of the professors there who are going to investigate our situation here and be able to give us some advisory on how to proceed and what our needs are. So that's exciting. And I am currently investigating options. That was mentioned last board meeting, and I haven't been able to pursue that too much, but I have got a few ideas, and I've questioned around and looked around for something that's going to suit our need for our groundskeepers. And part of it is several things I'm considering is the fact that we're transporting to KC and back, perhaps two or three groundskeepers at a time. And so there's several things I'm considering there, and I'm looking at options. So that's ongoing. I was able to publish the announcement for the deputy sexton job opening. And the broken pipe wrench plumbing was able to upgrade 400 feet of our defunct water line. And we were able to upgrade that with the poly. And I am interested in pursuing a change from our current PVC system to the HDPE, the poly. It's a far superior product. And I think in the long run, if every time we have to do a replacement, we put the extra out for the superior product, I think it's going to definitely be advantageous in the long run.
Did we vote on that a month or two ago about will we do replace the line with the poly?
I don't remember.
It is a better material than just straight PVC.
Yeah.
For water line.
I don't remember what the board's decision on that was. I don't know if they actually voted on that or
just
I think it was
discussion.
Just a discussion. And it was in reference to that 400-foot stretch. So it seemed like that went very well, so I'll anticipate pursuing that in the future. And I obtained one estimate for a security camera system. I'll continue to reach out and try to collect those. And when I have a sufficient amount, then we'll definitely try to proceed with that. I was able to maintain some of the mowing schedule, and of course not quite, but fortunately the irrigation system is off right now, and the weather's been cool, so it has not been a problem. And in fact, I've had public come in and compliment us on the grounds, so that's a good sign. So I did get a contractor for blowing out our irrigation system, and so I'm looking forward to getting that done. That should be done by the end of the week. And I reactivated our account with Employee LLC. Typically, we use them to provide summer help, and I reactivated that for some temporary help until we can get some process some resumes. And this is Hope.
Go ahead and introduce yourself, Hope.
Hello, I'm Hope. I'm the secretary assistant. And
welcome.
She's done a good job. In fact, I was able to just turn over some of the reports and say, here, bombed her with it, and she did just fine. Yeah. So she's been great. Then started a security update by replacing 12 locks around the facility. That is an ongoing project and should be finished by the end of this week as well.
And then we want to make sure we get that into about a 3-year cycle.
Sure, we can implement that.
Doing lock changes and keep, or at least repeating stuff about every 3 years.
Sure.
Just because of the amount of temporary help to get in and out, lose keys, lost keys, forgotten their name keys, that type of stuff.
Another thing I came up with is some forms to fill out. If we issue a key, they need to sign who they are, what company they're with, so we know who has keys and for what purpose. Okay. And right now it's almost a free-for-all. On numerous occasions I've come, and just recently as well, to the office first thing in the morning to find things that I am 100% certain were locked and deadbolted, to find those doors open. So this key change was needed. Mr. Joy, we had a tree fall on our fence back there toward the high school, and was able to work with him and Kyle Turk to try to get that removed, and he's accessing that from our property. It's just a lot easier approach for him, and so they're getting that taken care of. And I think they have all the brush. They just have to move some of the heavy wood and get that cut up and removed.
Now, Jenny, I know you'd asked about the rolls of chain link fence you got over there. When they repair that, because that fence is now mashed flat by that tree.
Yeah.
If possible, let's see if we can utilize some of that, because it's not a very long stretch.
Right.
We can put in a few metal posts and then just put up that chain link right there. Or that, I mean, no sense buying a new fence when we got it rolled up sitting behind the shop.
Yeah.
I think to utilize that if we buy a few posts.
I think Mr. Joy is going to take responsibility for the fence cost. But I could certainly offer.
We have the fence material, the mesh part. And if you just buy the new post, that way we still partner with the makers.
Sure, sounds good. And then the solicited estimates for the cremation garden. I've reached out to 6 or 7 contractors. I've got 2 positive responses, people very interested. And so I didn't bring those names in, but I do have them.
Well,
I can get those.
You and I, Carol. So,
yeah. And we were able to. And I appreciate Mr. Zorvis's incentive in this situation, because I've had a lot to do. KC, you see the report there sent to us from Danette Mondo. You see here that she's written. And I know we had a funeral down there. I don't see that she had that on there, but I know that she's doing more than what is represented in that report. And that's not a bad report, but I know she's doing more than that. And she is working with me to try to obtain estimates for that shop heater there that we talked about in August. It's a little bit difficult being so far from Buffalo to get estimates, but we are getting them. It's just a little bit slow to get. And so we anticipate that. And I'm getting estimates for gas, for propane or natural gas, and electric as well. I'm trying to get as many options acquired, accumulated as possible. So, and then you'll see where my projects anticipated for September. And we've already started on those. And I'm hoping to have the first two there, the security updates and the irrigation system, finished by this week. The fall mowing and leaf control, we've been able to stay on top of that. But that's definitely, as the leaves are falling right now, that's definitely something we're going to have to hit pretty hard. And then, of course, I'm looking for Deputy Sexton. And I'm working on developing a road maintenance schedule. And when the ground is wet the way it is now, it's ideal before it freezes to get that road maintenance done. So I am going to probably assign that one of the first projects of Deputy Sexton when we get that, to get that to go through that and establish a maintenance. There's no maintenance routine documented right now. We don't know what's been put where, other than word of mouth, and that's a lot of assumption. So I have the forms filled out. I have the documentation that's needed. It's just a matter of finding someone that's able to, and that's able to implement that for us. So that's hopefully that'll be done this month. And then, of course, Lot 106, I anticipate trying to address the numerous issues there and try to restore the public confidence in that setting, in that situation. And it's more than just sod and things like that. That's about serving the public, and I'm looking forward to getting that as a good demonstration of how we are interested in the feedback that we get from the public. So Lot 106 is high on my priority list. Then, of course, establish a contractor and hopefully get that started this month. I do have two recommendations. One is due to some feedback, some questions about the Deputy Sexton that I was posting for the job description there. And there's a term called junior that states junior full-time employees. I wasn't here when that terminology was implemented, but when I was questioned about it, I believe that was in reference to the summer help, which is usually high schoolers that work with us through the summer and then go back to school. I think that's what's in reference to. I would recommend changing that, because that term junior sometimes can be misinterpreted as with some negative connotations. And I think we could update that. And
so do you want to rewrite that and bring it to us next board?
I can do that. Sure.
You want to amend that?
Yeah. We'll get that. Adopt a new job description, updated, which is on our own calendar anyway. So those are where we get the recommendations from the staff to change into that.
Where is that?
And then a web designer. We've had a few issues going through Jody Telkamp that works at the county and their website, and she does a good job. She's helped us. She's been a big help, and she works hard at it. But usually there's a bit of a delay. Sometimes there's a lot of clarification that has to go on for every change that we request. And then she has mentioned that there's something she simply has really struggled and not been able to do for us. So I would recommend to the board that we just hire a web designer, start our own web, our own website. And we can link it through the county website. They can, if you know, everything can pretty much stay the same there, except for a lot of the information data would be based put on our website, and there would simply be a link. You click on that, and it would take you to ours. And that would that would certainly expedite the process of keeping the public updated through a website. And
is there anybody locally that does that?
I haven't investigated it at all, but I do know some people who work in that field that could probably provide some recommendations.
My idea of grabbing something out of spider silk.
I would reach out to a couple of the IT businesses around town to see if anybody's interested in you know, developing or maintaining the site for us and what that would run us.
Sure.
Because, and the county does a really good job supporting us, but they're limited too on how many years of minutes they can keep on the county's website of our minutes, because all the other boards are on there too. And the financials and all of that stuff have just filled up our box on their website. So, as a means of making sure if everything's accessible to the public, definitely something to look at. So,
sure. And then our Saluting Branches event, I just put a page in there because I really feel indebted to these businesses that have supported us. And there was others that expressed interest and just didn't get the timing down or different things came into play. So I just wanted to say a thank you publicly, and so I took the opportunity to insert that into the section's report. And also to Peter Weinberg. He is the one who coordinates the Saluting Branches event, and he puts a lot of work into that, and he's met with us several times in trying to organize that event, and we had some glitches in our scheduling and different things that came up, and Peter was excellent in adapting and modifying for our needs, and he did a great job. And it would be hard to put a price tag on the donations that they gave. I think it would be a very safe number to say they've donated $15,000 of pre-work to us. So,
I'd recommend that we authorize Grant to put this thank you into the newspaper.
I agree.
Just
recognize our businesses that support us and the work that these people did. I would make a motion that we put this thank you to the Saluting Branches and the businesses in the form of $500 in the local paper.
I make a motion. We put a thank you in the newspaper, thanking all the people that contributed to Saluting Branches.
Okay, I'll second.
And I do have full intentions on mailing individual thank you letters to those
businesses. There is a motion to
up to $500 for a thank you in the paper of the Saluting Branches.
There is a second. Is any other further discussion? There being none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried. Grant, you will take care of that.
Yes, sir.
And you might want to include that Peter Bender.
Sure. Yeah, he's based out of Sheridan, and he drove multiple times to ensure that we were on track, and I appreciate that.
I like your idea of individual.
Sure, that's absolutely going to happen.
It's a lot more.
So, and then our you see the a year-to-date board report. I'll spare you the fun of reading all that numerical data. You can glance through there and see the progress we've made through the month. And then the SIMS report on the next page, you'll notice that there was not hardly any progress, essentially no progress on that for this last month. But I am thrilled to have a secretary that's anticipating addressing some of that this next month. So, And then there was also a handout I handed out to the board members, and it's just, you can look at that as you would, so will. And that was just more of a personal report.
Thank you.
Grant?
Now, are there any guest presentations or bids that we are going to deal with? There being none, I believe
I'll make a motion we adjourn or not adjourn, but move from regular session to executive session.
For personnel, for personnel issues. No. Executive session.
No, it's visit with Ms. Kimmel.
Can we do that?
I believe she can be invited in.
Okay.
I believe she can. Sorry, but
I can't think of anything that stipulates that we can't.
You can. I'm sorry, but I believe that you can invite any member in for just some discourse, without that they will have any decision making.
But we're talking about personnel, correct?
No. Well.
We're talking about the burial issue.
Communications issue on one day.
And
that has to do with personnel. Guys.
Yeah.
But once you get into an executive session, you can address numerous issues.
Yeah,
and whoever you invite doesn't have to stay for all the entirety of it.
Is there any way that we can address this right now without us going into the executive session? Right.
Well, come on up, Miss Carey. You don't want
it. Yeah, we can probably do it.
Okay. Well, all
we are doing is.
I'm okay with calling Grant as personnel, but if it's not a personnel, then the only other thing is litigation.
This was deals with the fees of the tip.
Well, and so, the procedure, there was just a lot of stuff that.
So first off, as a board member, I want to say I apologize. You know, any communication issues from the board, or sorry, our job is to make sure that we don't go off and have a catch. So, as a board member, I'm sorry there was any issue. But what I'd like to do, look at it from our staff and from your input, I think it comes down to a communication issue on the family wanting to be there, that the grave was filled in, and our staff not knowing that. Simplified, but we're not going to probably gain much by doing he said, she said. I'd like to see if that was possible, if it's okay with you. And just look at our procedures and see if there's a way we can reassure each other that it doesn't happen again. We should definitely like to do that.
I don't mind looking at the procedures, but the procedures that I was given were followed.
Yeah.
The phone call was made from Carrie, and I believe to Grant, and I've got a document here with what she said, and I also have documentation from my two staff that were there, and from Charlie and his wife, the son and daughter-in-law.
Okay.
And by 3:30, they were all gone. And so the big issue about family being there until off and on throughout the whole time, that was not the case. And according to all the text messages, the emails, and the documentation that I have. And so I just want it clear that I have followed my what I believe to be true. And no, it can't happen again. This has been devastating to this family. And they came in the next day after I came over on Wednesday morning and I met you, Dave. the next day, the son came in and visited with me, and we cried together. I want you guys to know how devastating this was for this son to watch this happen to his mother. And I ended up discounting quite a bit just for, because ultimately I'm responsible for the family that I'm taking care of. And yeah, it just can't happen again.
Again, I'm just speaking as an individual board member in LAS and China.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely don't want it to happen again. I believe that, you know, there's, it happened, so we got to look forward to see what we can do to make sure.
Okay.
What can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Okay.
One, but two, we are going to look at. And I know I was on the phone that evening that there was a discussion to bring up to the board about refunding the opening and closing fees. That was something that I mentioned. It probably should not have been relayed to the family at that point, but the family found out about it. But again, I would want to focus on what can we do as far as your business to make sure this doesn't happen again. Can you tell us, you know, is there a better way to email? Is there a better way to phone? Can we double check somehow? What can we do to help you, help us, make sure it doesn't happen again? I'm not diminishing that it did happen. I just want to I'm looking forward to see, well, can we improve? Where can we improve to make sure it doesn't happen again? And that's where I would like your input. You know, what can we do to improve to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Okay. I have never experienced this before, and I have worked with many cemeteries throughout the states, surrounding states. I have a reasonable expectation, I believe, that within a couple hours, if I've contracted you or any other cemetery to do an opening and closing, that closing gets done within a very reasonable amount of time. And the reasoning I kept getting was because the family was there, but I have since found out, according to the family, they were not there. And so my expectation, what will make it better, is that we have a grave site at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody leaves by 3:30. Then by 5:30, 6 o'clock, he shows up and nothing's been done. And then on top of that, the son ended up helping put the vault lid on, which you just don't do that to family at a funeral. And it's just inappropriate. And I don't know Grant. I met Dave the other day. I don't know any of you folks, and it's not personal against anybody, but death is such a tragic thing that we all have to go through anyway. And my philosophy and the way I treat my families is that do no harm. No harm. And this caused so much harm to this family.
But you haven't answered the question. What's your suggestion on the communication part?
If the sexton, whoever that may be, can't get it done, then I need a phone call.
Okay.
Sexton needs to be contacted.
He was contacted, ma'am.
Email or however. I mean, that's
so that,
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, the other part on this was my grandkids were being born that night. So I just got pieces and parts. But if they did, you use our burial request form?
Yes, I did.
So is there a place on there that, like, if the family wants to be present when it's buried, that we could add that onto that form? Would that help in the communication process?
I didn't know until I got ready to leave the cemetery and they asked if they could stay. And I told them I did not know, but I would let the cemetery know. And so a lot of times if they requested ahead of time, of course I would, but they didn't.
But I don't think there's a spot on, is there a spot for special requests on that form?
No, there's not.
So maybe if we put a add to our form of spot for special requests, like the family wants to be there when the grave is being filled in, or the family wants to throw buried a grandchild in Texas once, and we had the, you know, part of the ritual there was the families used a shovel to put in some of the dirt on. So we could, if you think that would help, we would definitely look at putting in a spot on our form so that there's any special requests that the family wants, whether, and I think maybe that would help us in the future, help not just but you know, we try to deal with Gillette and everybody else. Mm-hmm. So
sure.
That, and then if there is going to be something beyond
this, what you're talking about.
Yeah. So somewhere down here or somewhere on here, we put in a box or special request.
And that would work if they going into
it.
But a lot of times they'll come up afterwards and say, you know, I think I'm going to stay. They left. That was the thing. They had to take their daughter to the airport. So they left. And, you know, I did not personally have Grant's phone number. I did, but it was under Tim Losey.
It's also on that form that you sent. That you filled out.
Well,
so,
I'm sorry. But there was a phone call made, and once my part of the fulfillment was done, I believe that there was going to be a delay.
So if we added,
I need to be contacted.
So if we updated our, you know, I'm trying to see how we do better. So if we updated our policy manual, let's say any delay over an hour and a half from closing a grave, that delay needs to be relayed back to the funeral home to arrange the services.
I think that's reasonable.
I think that's reasonable on our side. You know, if it's going to be longer than an hour and a half before we can close the grave, we need to let the funeral home in charge know. And we can put that in. That would be an easy update to our policy. And then hopefully
I understand
that
there might be some delays, but I just buried my mom a couple of years ago. And if somebody would have called me and said, hey, we're not going to get this grave, your mom's casket, buried for 5 hours, I'd go ballistic. And it's like, we're paying you, go get it done. That's what the expectation is.
So you think an hour and a half is?
I think
that's reasonable.
When we leave, the family leaves, and the staff leave, and the cemetery's contacted, usually they're waiting in the trees back behind for everybody to leave, and then they go immediately cover the casket.
Right. Okay. Well, I think we got two things we can do as a board. We can adjust our burial request form for any special things. That way, if we know ahead of time, we can address it. And then adjust the policy to say if there's a delay of over an hour and a half, our sexton is required to contact that funeral director so that you guys can say that communication piece stays. Because that's been my experience over many years, that it's communication first, and anything we can do to help that. And then obviously if you want to get any of our numbers as board members, I think we have our numbers
just because I do want communication, and my biggest fear is that had Charlie not shown up, would it have been done? And I please don't laugh.
I'm not laughing.
It's very terrifying for me.
I am not laughing.
Okay, she was shocked.
I'm shocked too. Yeah. I'm shocked at 6 o'clock. I get a call from the family, and it wasn't done. And that would be my fear, that guarantee would never happen.
So while you're here, the board.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a motion that to the progressive board that the family be refunded the open and closed fees.
I don't. Can you change that to the funeral home? Because
I gave
you the check.
Yeah, the money will come back to you, but it'll be for that family's funeral.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Okay, any other discussion? None. We had a motion to refund the TIF family.
Open and close.
Open and closing, which would go directly to
Sheridan Funeral Home. Yeah.
Sheridan Funeral Home. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, and again, our apologies, and we apologize to the family. And unfortunately, all of us are human, and from time to time, there's mistakes. And we hope that we can move forward. And like I said, I look forward to communicating with you. And like I said, if there's anything else that you can recommend that can help us, please feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, I will. Thank you for listening, and we got to take care of the family.
Yes, we do.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Move on to old business. And new business vehicles are kind of.
Well, Free Nation Guard, you want an update on that? I'll provide a quick update.
Yeah.
We have purchased the two 32-inch walls, and they should be here about March. They're being built, custom built, because they're a single side, not a double side. So it'll be 64 inches, which can hold two urns apiece. So we can inter 128 people in those niche walls. So if we look at, it was 1,700. And I know at some point once they're installed,
each one is large enough for two urns.
Yes.
Is that so? A 64 would be
times
128. Okay.
Yeah. So and at some point once they're installed, the board will have to look at how much the fee is to use one of those. But just for the public's consumption, as a board member, I'm looking at $17,500. So if we took $18,000 and divided it by 100 or even 64, $281 for a niche, a hole in the wall. So we could, that doesn't increase the cost of the concrete and the foundation and the walkway, but we could reasonably, the board could reasonably, offer those for the same price as we do a grave space. Or a little bit more, Definitely wouldn't be $3,000 as been proposed in the public.
No.
So they.
We haven't talked about it.
I don't think it's appropriate until we actually get them on the ground and look at the final cost.
Yeah.
But those are engaged. Grants has some contractors. You have contacted several contractors. We're probably going to get somebody rolling on the foundation and the sidewalk here soon. And get that going. So that's my update. But they have been purchased and on the way.
Okay. Now we're moving to new business. The vehicles, we addressed that in the sessions report. Is that what the vehicles in?
I think that's what that was added for.
So we have pretty much addressed that. Okay, now we've got update. Chandler's bookkeeping contract.
Yes, please.
Okay, come on up and sit down.
Could we get you a little closer, at least from behind the corner?
You know, behind back there? What's all good news on my behalf here is some extra copies. As of the 1st of October, the fire department, the fire district has hired me full time. But in order to make those full-time hours, what they are doing is contracting me out, subcontracting me out
to continue to do the bookkeeping for the county entities that I already do the bookkeeping for. So the only difference for the district is the bill will come from the Johnson County Fire District instead of me personally. So all this contract is stating that the contract is through Johnson County Fire Control District number one. The rest of this is the exact same contract that you guys, that we signed whenever we signed it a few months ago.
Okay, so our act, I guess, because my concern is access to you as our bookkeeper.
Nothing's changing.
Nothing's changing.
Nothing's changing.
Okay, but you know, so because in my brain, you know, it goes into worst case scenario thing that next summer we have a big blow up on the mountain and you're called in to do EOC type.
Which hasn't been half done. I was on a fire this summer.
Oh, okay.
So nothing.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So, but again, that's why I'm thinking, okay, the multiple ways.
No, like I said, nothing changed on this contract other than through the Johnson County Fire District. Mm-hmm. The duties are still the same.
And then you would still answer to us.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yep. And that's still in here that I answer to the board.
For and under the direction of the
board.
Yep. That's that second paragraph there. That's
good.
I don't have a problem with that. Definitely want to keep it.
I've been with that fire department for 16 years. So they're trying to reward me by helping me get some county benefits.
I make a motion we sign Janice's new updated contract.
I second that.
And any further discussion? Being none, all those in favor of accepting Chandler's updated contract, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no. There being none, the motion is carried.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
If I can get a signature, please, John.
Had me worried.
No. Nothing to worry about.
You still got to keep them in the office?
No. Thank goodness. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I would entertain a motion to close this meeting.
I'd
make that
motion.
I'll second that
motion. Motion has been seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. Being none, motion carried. Let's close this meeting. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.